Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hey, guys.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people who work in it. This episode 55 is being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So today we are once again broadcasting from yellow pine pollen covered Lawrenceville, Georgia.
It is a yellow day outside.
Do you know what the pollen count was yesterday, the highest of the year?
Is that what it was? I mean, it would be like basically the
like 16,000 or something. I don't even know the units that they use.
I don't really know what's normal either. But I know that when I went outside, my car was yellow and my car is usually black.
Yep.
I can tell you that it is the pine trees because they all have those little yellow, I don't know,
pollen laden
pine cone looking things on them.
Yeah, that's, I was talking to my brother Alan earlier today about that and how they're really cool and pretty looking when you walk up and look, and then the wind blows through and all the pollen comes off and it's not quite as pretty as we once thought. So,
but pollen's really important, right, for like the ecosystem and things like that. So while it does cause us problems, it obviously paints our cars. It's important to...
Yes, it's the way plants and trees...
Reproduce.
I was going to say have sex. And I'm like, I shouldn't say that. But
I thought you were going to say pollinate, and I was going to be like, oh, that's reproduce, super philosophical.
And without pollen, the pollinators would not be as important as they are.
That's
so
right.
The bees, many people are super opinionated that they are hugely important to our ecosystem, and I would agree.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely know... you know, prior to COVID-19, there were lots of people talking about saving the bees and things like that. So,
yeah, even at the last couple of conferences we've been to, they've had classes on beekeeping and beehives and whatnot, which is just kind of crazy.
A guy my dad works with is a beekeeper.
Is that a good job?
Well, I don't know that it's his job. He works with my dad, but he does it as a hobby.
And so I
guess they talk about it often. I don't know, but like he does produce honey, or those bees do produce honey for him. And so I do think he sells it, but I think it's more of like a side hustle hobby.
Yeah, hobby. I was going to ask you when you brought that up, like, oh, is there a lot of money in beekeeping? Because you never hear about it, right? So usually a hobby, but obviously a lot of honey, which a lot of the honey... It's very dependent on where it comes from. It has different flavors and different medicinal properties, such as helping to reduce some allergies.
So when I first started working here like 10 years ago, we used to have honey, local honey, in the lobby. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the purpose? Just because there was a local person selling honey?
Yeah, yeah. There was a guy in Buford that had a honey shop, and... We brought it in and actually sold quite a bit of it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I do remember that, though, like being in our retail section up front. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with animals, right? Like we weren't encouraging people to feed honey to their pets. It was more of like a retail thing for human beings.
Yeah, no, because of the whole allergy issue. But sticking with the tangent, the honey tangent here, the last 8, 9, 10 years, honey as far as medicinal for wound therapy?
Sure. We have a case currently.
A little Chihuahua dog that got bitten by a bigger dog and really traumatized the skin and the underlying soft tissues. And a lot of times when that happens, the blood supply is damaged, but you don't to the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really know it at the time of, because this particular dog did not have huge open gaping wounds.
Right. Just punctures from the bigger teeth of the bigger dog.
Yeah. 4, 5, 6 days after coming in and kind of getting him or her.
It's a her.
Her through the shock and, you know, the pain of everything. All of a sudden she has 3 or 4 areas of skin sloughing due to the trauma. And so we have been utilizing honey.
Quite a large spot though, right? Like maybe 2 by 3 inches
over
her
bigger,
right shoulder.
I was going to say the size of an apple or baseball or tennis ball, just to give listeners kind of a visual reference there. Yeah. So anyway, we've been doing wound therapy. We're adding honey to that. It does help the tissues to heal more quickly and the granulation to happen, which is what's necessary. So totally didn't plan on talking about honey, but
no, but it's pretty cool.
Here we go down the rabbit hole. COVID-19, obviously big deal.
Yep, according week three, here
to
we are.
Everybody, including us.
Yep.
Never, ever thought it would shut down the American economy and workforce the way it has. Still many, many weeks, if not months, I think, before we know or even have a clue as to all the effects.
Oh,
so,
sure.
We have some friends out in Las Vegas that, you know, Las Vegas, we've mentioned, completely shut down with the hotel and gaming industry. So I would hope that Holly, Johnice, James,
LT,
who else?
Oh, God, what's the guy with the brother whose dad lives here in Flyer
Branch?
James. Oh, that's James.
Yeah.
Cody.
Yeah. Shout out to all of those people that we know and hope they're, I'm sure, Jimmy.
Jimmy. Yes. I forgot about Jimmy.
Yeah. So maybe Holly can get everybody to listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Cause they're not doing anything else right now.
Yeah. So anyway, obviously COVID-19 affecting everybody, including us. So we mentioned last week that we have moved to a complete, curbside service. So we are 9 days into that?
Just about, yeah.
It's been going pretty well, I think.
So I think we're doing it, and we briefly touched on this a little bit. We're doing it a little differently than pretty much anybody we know in the veterinary industry, right? So it's curbside service, and we also have an app called Pet Pro Connect that we've been using now here at Russell Ridge for just about 2 years this April. But with that, we're able to do video consultations or video chats through the app. Live. So we're really truly trying to still make the client involved or have the client be involved in everything that we do with their pet while it's here in the practice.
Right.
Not everyone has the app, and then there's
or
a little bit of a lag time
to,
and that kind of thing. And then certainly some of our elder generation clients would rather just talk on the phone. So we're super adaptive to all of that stuff, but I think it's really cool. I follow all of the Facebook groups, you know, and all of the veterinary forums, if you will. I really truly don't think anyone is using it quite the way we are.
Go to our website or follow us on Facebook. We've been pushing out videos, and on the website, which is mygavet.com, we have a couple, and we mentioned this last week, a couple of PSAs. We've added a few more about how to download the app, how we're bringing you, the client, into the exam room for a virtual visit. So totally agree. Very, very cool. People in our industry for the last 24 months, I'm going to say, maybe not quite that long, have been trying to figure out how to utilize telemedicine and how to monetize that.
Certainly.
And so we are at no charge getting our clients to download that app, and we're having the appointment in real time with them in front of us, but yet they're, for us on our side, it's on a laptop.
Right.
That we're seeing them, and they are seeing us on their tiny little computers that are super powerful, also known as smartphones. Trying to just kind of keep things as normal as possible, but yet completely not normal times.
That being said, right, and I think maybe our next PSA, this is a little plug for ourselves here, but for our next announcement, we really need to encourage people, now that Gwinnett County and all the neighboring counties around the hospitals have kind of gone into a shelter in place.
Yep.
I think there's a bit more apprehension for people to leave the house and come out to the animal hospital unless their pet is truly, truly sick. And
right.
So what we can now offer through this Pet Pro Connect app is kind of like a triage service. And this would be a paid service on their end, basically where they would use the app and request a virtual consult or a video consult with our veterinarian.
With them and their pet in their home, and we would be here. And
exactly.
So, right.
And so it's basically a peace of mind, more so than anything, on whether or not what's going on with your pet can be discussed and potentially, you know, treated at home or over the over the video chat, or if it's really something that you and your pet need to leave the house and come to the animal hospital
then
for.
Then we'll let you know.
Exactly. So
and
I think
pricing is going to be a little bit less expensive for the virtual visit, but if they do have to come into the clinic, there will be an additional $10 surcharge, which will make it equal to our normal exam fee.
Correct. So, yeah. So that's something that I think maybe our next video should talk about now that we are in a shelter in place. So
I totally agree. So the news is the news with COVID-19. Like we did last week. I don't want to update everybody because it's ever changing.
Not a whole lot has changed.
What I was going to do, did we talk about our core values last week, or was that on my, that was on my little video I pushed out, my little
I think your
video to video. The client mm-hmm. saying we're going curbside. We talked about caring and how that's super important. So I wanted to, you know, kind of talk about the cases we are seeing and also, you know, when during these uncertain times, when do pet parents need to either consider the telemedicine checkup or come into the clinic. And so that made me think about our core values, which are iCare. I stands for innovation, C stands for care, A stands for accountability, so that's more for our employees, R is respect, employee related, and then E is for engagement. So we always kind of talk about during staff meetings and any, you know, uncertain times or problematic times, refer to the core values because that guides everything you do. And so I'm super proud of our staff, including our upper level managers, you and others, as far as we are kind of sticking to those core values. Sure. We're being innovative using, you know, telemedicine and bringing the client into the room. Again, I don't think anybody in our industry that I've heard of is doing that.
Correct.
But we're creating that value. We're engaging that client. We're truly caring for our community, our clients, our patients, our staff. Just today, we notified them that we are going on a 2 crew shift.
Right, like a group.
We're trying to provide a little bit of extra distance between staff members by having one crew work 4 days 1 week, another work 3 days the following, and then that flip-flops. And so we're trying to get that 3 days of separation in case something happens to where a staff member gets infected or is suspected of being infected.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been kind of painful getting to the point of implementing this, but kudos to our staff. They're completely on board.
Sure.
We notified them today just shortly after lunch, and everybody is willing to completely change their schedule compared to what they had planned moving forward. Which, in fairness, I mean, what else are we going to do these days? We're not going to the movies. We're not going on a cruise where we can go fishing, you know, with one other person, but nobody else. There's
right.
a lot of things that we can't do. So shout out to our staff. I really appreciate their flexibility.
For sure.
Same thing with our clients. I know it's not pleasant to have to come park in our parking lot and call us, and we ask you what spot are you in, and we confirm why you're here, and then we send a staff member out to bring the pet in, and then we either, you know, dial them up on telephone or hopefully via Pet Pro Connect. So
right.
I don't know, I think it's kind of cool. I do think you can either choose not to adapt during these times, and or you can shelter in place and just kind of see what's going to happen, which, again, we're
it's so not wrong on a to business aspect, you're saying.
Yeah, it's not wrong to shelter in place. I'm kind of trying to correct the road I was going down there. If you are, Angel's microphone just fell off. That's what that noise was. This is the third time it's happened, but only the first time during a live podcast. Well, it's not live, but, you know, recorded live. So so the next few noises you hear or don't hear will be her hooking it back up. So anyway, yes, if you are not working from home, are not in a business that is deemed essential and or are ordered to shelter in place, nothing wrong with that. But where I was going is, do y'all hear that? Yeah. Where I was going is we are trying to be innovative. We're trying to stay connected with our clients. We're trying to provide the services our community and clients and patients need.
So with that being
and we're gonna get through
said,
it.
We're not not abiding by rules and laws, we are considered an essential business.
Correct.
And so for those companies or staff members who work for a company that are not considered essential business, let's say your local, you know, dine-in only restaurant,
right.
They don't really have an option. And so I think we're pretty fortunate that we are considered essential, that we do have options. We are able to keep all of our staff employed. They're obviously sacrificing it and making some changes in their life as well, and totally appreciative. But I don't know. I lost my train of thought there. But the point being is that we are deemed essential. And right. So all of our staff is definitely stepping up and taking that wholeheartedly. They really appreciate that as well.
Yeah, a few staff members have had a couple of instances that they needed to be out for some reason or another. And we've been able to be flexible on our end as well and try to accommodate those needs. But yeah, once again, just... happy to have the staff that we have, happy they can make accommodations, that we can make accommodation. That's kind of what a team does. So, you know what they say.
What is that?
Well, there's
life is like a box of chocolates.
There's
you never
a lot
know
of
what
sayings,
you're going to get.
But teamwork makes the dream
oh,
work.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that one.
That's one. Anyway. in this environment... So Gwinnett County, we talked about, they are shelter in place as of Friday around 5 p.m., I think.
Well, technically Saturday morning at 12:01 a.m.
Okay, they announced it Friday. People are still out on the roads. People are still able to go buy groceries, medical supplies, take care of other people, other pets, bring their pet to the veterinary clinic as needed.
Or to care for a pet. So, like, literally in the list of things, if you're going to someone else's house to care for a pet,
right.
Or if you're transporting a pet to an animal facility, all those things are acceptable reasons to be out of the house.
Yeah. So, what are some, let's just talk about maybe what you should and shouldn't do during these times as a pet owner. So, let's have that discussion, but we are still... capable and able to see whatever you want your pet to have done here at really all of our locations.
So I know, I think what you're going down is like, what's considered emergent? Like, what do you need to come to the practice for?
Yeah. So what I don't want is for people, there's two things I don't want. I don't want people to be afraid to come here and stay at home with their pet when it needs to be seen.
When
there's an ailment, illness, you know, emergency, emergent situation that they really, I don't want to, you know, have them come in a week or two and us be like, gosh, if we'd have seen your pet, you know, a week ago, we could have
right.
done,
it could have been different.
Could have done some good sure. and, you know, potentially fix the problem. But I also don't want people to be afraid to get rechecks on, you know, either exams or blood work, or if their pet is due for something wellness related, especially as a new puppy or kitten, we are here. And we,
sure.
you know, nothing's perfect in this world ever. We are doing everything we can to protect ourselves and our clients as far as cross-contamination. Not perfect, but I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Sure.
Side note, I drove around today, looked at some other clinics that were open today, which is Sunday, even though the podcast goes out Monday. And there are clinics that seem to be operating normally, having people come in the lobby. There are clinics that are...
completely shut.
That are completely shut down. There are clinics that are saying, oh, we're changing our protocol. Call us when you get here and we'll escort you in the lobby. Same thing when you go out to any retail hardware store is a great case. Lowe's is doing things differently than Ace Hardware is doing things differently than Home Depot.
Sure.
So
I think everyone's trying to make the
right
decisions,
yeah.
the best decisions that they can for their specific business. And so I don't think anyone's necessarily wrong, but to your point, we're really just trying to reiterate to people, like we really feel
social
like we're
distance,
doing the best
yeah.
we can.
Yeah.
And so there's really no reason not to come to the practice.
Yeah.
So I think going back to what I think you were talking about are what are some conditions that you should come in for? So kind of talking about a case of the week from this past week, Dr. Amber Williams and I saw an 11-year-old lab who came in with a facial swelling. The people weren't really, they were concerned, but they even questioned like, you know, should we have brought him in or should we have not have? Turns out that the dog actually had a tooth root abscess, which I'm certain is terribly uncomfortable for the dog. We were able to actually get the dog into surgery that day and actually remove that and help get the dog some relief. So that would be facial swelling, yeah. Obviously, any sort of pain if your dog is limping, those kinds of things are still considered to come into the practice for, I think.
So I totally agree. We try to train our client service representatives, or sometimes called receptionists, that if the client is concerned about their pet, which honestly, usually they are if they're calling you.
Absolutely.
If they have a concern, we need to see the pet. And so now we can either see them virtually, us reaching out to them staying in their home, and or we can have them come in and what we feel like is safely see their pet to see what needs right. to happen. And so I guess I would somewhat leave it at that, because there's no way for us to talk about an exhaustive list of, broken bone, yes, tooth root abscess, yes, fractured tooth, yes,
vomiting, eye looks diarrhea,
funny, yes, yeah. Ear infection, yes, vomiting, yes.
But like we said, we do have the PetPro Connect app, and so if you're super apprehensive as a client, you can reach out to us via that, and then we can let you know, like, you know what, it really is something that requires you guys to leave the house and come in.
Do you know if Andrew with BI ever listens to our podcast?
I don't know.
We should send him this one, because we're talking about it and it would be relevant. So Andrew, we're going to do that and hope you and your family are doing well. That's something we need to do.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely have been in contact with him quite a bit over the last couple of days as we use PetPro Connect more and more within the practice and in ways that he wanted us to use it 2 years ago, but now, we're being forced to use it, and forced it's working to,
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
But I don't know that if things were like they were in January, normal, quote unquote, that it would have been utilized.
Yeah. Super useful no tool, need. Though. Yeah. I mean, there are animal hospitals that jumped on board with the whole telemedicine, telehealth aspect, and our big negative problem with that is that most of these problems you can't fix through video plus or minus chat.
Right.
Most of these are physical problems. You're going to need to see the patient, but yet,
right.
The subset of problems that you can take care of are, they're there, they're real, but they're so minute that it just didn't make sense to us. What has always made sense to me, and in our industry, there are, I would bet you there's probably 10 or 12 telemedicine, telehealth companies. I've seen
triage.
New ones this week that yeah. I didn't even know were out there. But yeah, using this as a tool for triage, so it's 10 o'clock at night, it's 8 o'clock at night, and you don't know if your pet needs to come in for an emergency. A lot of clinics and animal hospitals are triaging these themselves with their own doctors and staff. And then at, say, 10 o'clock when it's bedtime, they're having it roll over to a service. So I do see tremendous value there. But
yeah, sure. And again, that's just another way for customer service and kind of taking care of the people that trust you within your practice.
Oh, exactly. So that's us trying to care for our clientele again mm-hmm. and take care of the pets. So one story, only one story other than COVID-19.
19.
COVID-19, gosh. COVID-10, where'd that come from? You brought this up earlier in the week,
mm-hmm.
and this is, so in these weird times, weird things happen. I shared with you last week, like all of us, one day I saw three super weird things. It just made me like stop and think. I saw another weird thing today. That's why I'm talking about this. So one weird thing I saw was an apparent couple, female, in their 50s or 60s, wearing their bicycle racing outfits on a bicycle built for two.
Oh, that's cute.
So this is like last week. It wasn't even early this week. I think it was maybe last weekend when all, the COVID-19 stuff was going on. And I kind of shook my head. I'm like, that's weird.
Maybe they compete though.
Maybe. And then I went to the park for a run and I'm running around a little horseshoe bend and I look up and there is this long rope strung out between two trees, probably 40 feet apart.
Uh-huh.
And around the trees were these bands like people are using with these hammocks that you see.
The Enos, yeah.
Those. And I'm like, God, that's a really big hammock. And as I'm running around the bend, I see this 19, 20, 21-year-old, quote-unquote, kid who gets on this string and he's practicing tightrope walking.
So do you feel like these things were all happening, just not in public places, like a tandem bicycle? You probably wouldn't see that.
If they're competitive.
So now, like, everyone's being forced to do things more at home. So they're being forced to do them more locally. Same thing with your tightrope guy.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe they're out, but I'm just like, you know, is the world ending or what in the world is going on? And I forgot what the third one was, but I just remembered. I told you I saw a lady and a male person with her, M-A-L-E, not postage mail, walking into Home Depot. And on her left shoulder was a parakeet.
Yes.
And there was this leather strap that went from the parakeet's leg down to her belt loop. So she's going in shopping at Home Depot, evidently. So the reason I bring this up, today at the park when I went for my run, guess what creature, animal? I saw two really weird things,
actually. You saw
actually.
A cat on a leash.
I saw a cat
Did
on
you really?
A leash
oh
in
gosh.
A relatively young girl's arms, 18, 19, 20 maybe. Her and her other female friend were walking, and she's carrying the cat, and I'm like...
Isn't that just terrifying still, though?
I'm just thinking, I think it was a Maine Coon, but I just, I smiled, she smiled, I smiled back, and I'm just thinking, gosh, people are really, really bored, and everything and everybody needs to get out of the house. The other thing I saw, which is not... nearly as weird, but was a little bitty turtle coming down from a hill, crossing the running path, going towards the lake. You know where the drain is at, mm-hmm. at Miller Lake at Lake at Mulberry Park?
Uh-huh.
When you're going up the hill and they had that little swing up there, I almost stepped on this little bitty 50-cent piece-sized turtle. But I picked it up and put it in the grass and hoped that it would make it down the hill. Into
on the
lake.
Right, on the correct side of the road.
Yeah, so.
Towards the water.
Anyway, the turtle not so weird, but the other stuff, man, it's like weird stuff going on these days.
So it's the people, everyone's just stressed and taking precautions, right? And so I told you I went into Home Depot or Lowe's a week ago and I saw a man and woman walk in with gloves and a can of Lysol.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess they were going to Lysol things that they planned to touch or did touch. I'm not quite sure. But they were wearing gloves as well. So interesting, different. Obviously, there's lots of information out there, be it correct or false or whatnot. But yeah. I think everyone's trying to do what they think is right. So whether it's a business owner, an employee, just a random shopper, they're all
trying their best. We're now... A lot of people are recommending some type of respiratory mask, whether it's surgery mask or N95 or whatever. But remember, weeks and months ago,
when it first came about,
everybody's like, "Oh, you're
ridiculous,
stupid to wear a mask unless you have the disease.
Unless you're sick." Yeah.
And now we're kind of realizing
we've talked about that. I think the reason they said like not everyone should wear a mask unless you're showing symptoms is because they didn't want
a run
the
on supply
stress. Panic, and then everyone to run out and buy all the masks they could, which is what happened anyways. So that being said, real quick, my one story about stress purchases.
Okay.
So
is it about toilet paper?
It's not about toilet paper.
Clorox cleaning
so
products?
So we're coming up on April, right? Which then equals coming up on Easter. And we've talked about on our last year's podcast, as we get closer to Easter, how pets like chicks and bunnies are not good Easter gifts. However, there is apparently a super huge stress buy right now that Americans are buying baby chicks for the sense that they want them to grow up and be egg-producing hens. So not necessarily like the cute little chicks that they're going to put in Easter baskets, but they're like stress buying them all right now so that they can have these egg-laying chickens.
Completely unrelated. We'll get back to your story. But I
my story's basically over, but...
Friday or Saturday, I heard on the radio that the makers of Peeps, I don't know what company makes Peeps.
Me either, but Peeps are like marshmallow...
Yeah, the Easter marshmallows, they're either yellow or pink. Is that correct?
Well, they have a million different varieties now, but yeah, yellow peeps, like yellow bunny look, yeah. or yellow chickens.
So we're talking the little marshmallow yeah. that looks like a chick and it's got crystallized sugar on the outside. Sugar. Mm-hmm. So they shut down completely.
Oh no.
But don't you worry, Angel. They had already produced the entire supply
for this year,
through the Easter season.
That's crazy.
So that is weird.
I've never been a Peeps eater. I think there's two types of people in the world, those that like Peeps and those that don't. And I am one of those that don't.
I will eat maybe one a year. Ugh. But yeah.
I like marshmallows, but like, I don't like Peeps.
They're kind of very similar to circus peanuts. Do you know what circus peanuts are?
Yeah, and I actually like one circus peanut.
That's so exactly. I can eat one to the end of it. I start getting that little back of your jaw.
Too sugary.
I might throw up kind of yeah. clenching going yeah. on. And...
But can you just smell a circus peanut right
yeah.
now?
I mean, that's, yeah. One of my favorite candies, but yes.
Is a circus
one
peanut?
Or less. Yeah. My family used to give me that, and they haven't in a couple of years because I guess I've gotten old and cranky, but they used to give me that for either my birthday or Christmas every year. They would buy me a bag of circus peanuts, and they'd chuckle and laugh because they knew one was all I could eat. But I really liked them, but they funny. Were really disgusting after one. So yeah. Anyway, the chick thing, super weird. Eggs, maybe some people are thinking because chicken's been in short supply in mm-hmm. the grocery store.
If you can produce it yourself, why not?
Yeah.
All these people that chicken. Have so home gardens and stuff, you
we,
know, so
we
good
may
for
have
them.
A huge rise in backyard chickens with this whole shortage going
Which
on.
Which we've already... industry-wide seen quite a surge in backyard chickens.
Right.
Not necessarily in our area, because I think there's ordinances around here that doesn't allow them to happen. But yeah, it's already a thing. Like every conference I've ever been to has a poultry, not for poultry reproduction, but like poultry vet backyard treating.
Do you know, other than the internet, where you can buy chicks from?
Trader Joe's, or not Trader Joe's. What's the other one?
Tractor Supply
yeah, store.
Feed stores.
Yeah. That's the only place I've ever seen them, to be honest.
My friend Randall Riles once had like a shipment of chicks come in back in Ropesville, Texas, when we were probably, I don't know, late grade school, maybe early high school.
He wanted to sell them for $1 a piece.
No, I don't remember. I just remember going just out kidding. To the barn and looking at all these cute little chicks running around, little yellow things. And anyway.
They are cute, aren't they?
That was completely no point to
so,
that.
So do you want to wrap up? Or I know we still haven't talked about a word of the week. I think this one's a good one.
Paresis is the word of the week. Last week's word was hypopion, which was pus in the anterior chamber of the eye.
Uh-huh.
And so paresis, P-A-R-E-S-I-S. The reason this is the word of the week is we have had several cases this past 7 days where their animal was paretic, which means exhibiting signs of paresis. So what is paresis, Angel?
Don't you dislike when the definition has the same word in it?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't help at all. Paresis is...
What's the simplest way to explain it?
Losing function of the limbs. Okay. So what I was going to ask you is, what's the difference in paresis and paralysis? So one is like losing function and one is like losing all ability. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So paresis to me, the simplest way to explain it is neurologic weakness. And we most often see it in the rear legs. Mm-hmm. Anything that affects the spinal cord, everything behind it's going to be affected. So let's say you injure the spinal cord in the middle of the back with, say, a disc that ruptures and puts pressure on the spinal cord. That animal is going to be paretic or show neurologic weakness, meaning it's not going to have the sensation or the ability to place and know where its back legs are. Does that make sense?
But it still walks.
But usually can still walk.
You'll see swinging of the leg because it doesn't know where it's at.
Correct. It may have a stilted gait and may, a lot of times when they go to sit down, they don't have enough strength to, you know, to be able to have a nice, calm, easy sitting
so you're
or rising.
Plopping. Okay.
Versus paralysis or being paralyzed means no motor movement or no sensation. So no feeling and no movement of your back legs. And that's a much more severe injury to the spinal cord, usually getting into the gray matter at that point. Whereas when you have paresis, you're more injuring the white matter of the spinal cord. And that's as technical because I'm looking at your face.
Real technical. So let's talk because you mentioned neurologic. So it doesn't necessarily mean that there's something wrong with the dog's brain. It's just how the,
It can. It's something wherever the body part is affected, you know that the neurologic lesion or problem is in front of that. So you can have something as bad as brain disease, a brain tumor.
What about just old dog syndrome, like, right, where they get caught cognitive dysfunction.
Right.
Can that be a cause of paresis?
It can, not cognitive dysfunction. If it's affecting the brain, it's going to affect the front legs and the rear legs.
I see.
Okay, so that's brain or neck. It's in front of those body parts. And so if the front legs are apparently normal, then oftentimes we say the lesions behind the front legs, thoracic or lumbar vertebra. And so old dogs definitely are our number one population to show signs of paresis, but it's because they have either chronic mild to moderate intervertebral disc disease or spinal arthritis, such as discospondylosis and or discospondylitis, which technically is an infection. So anyway, we see a lot of older, more large breed than small breed dogs that have a little bit of something going on with their spinal cord. They start to get weak. They start to drag their back legs. They start to have a quiver or shimmer in their back legs. Most people think they're painful. Quite the opposite. They're not painful. They have less sensation, but they don't have the normal neurologic innervation to their back legs. They don't know where they are. They can't extend and stand up straight because that's kind of a neurologic feedback.
So you start to see like the splay legs, the Bambi, the hardwood surface, that
exactly.
kind of thing.
Hardwoods are the worst because there's no traction.
What's one of the better treatments?
Good, firm footing.
Just being able to support what wasn't there.
We'll usually put them on an anti-inflammatory such as Remedil or Galliprant these days to try to see if we take away the inflammation, whether it's disc disease or spinal arthritis, can we make them better? Usually we can make them a little bit better, but we never cure the disease. And we never even consider surgery on these older dogs because they do have the function. They're not paralyzed. They're just paretic. But it's kind of one of those old dog changes that... it's somewhat sad in that we know what it is and why it's there, but we can't really do a whole lot about it. So, paresis. All right.
So, thank you for sharing all of that. I think, again, the definition between paresis and paralysis is really important for people to understand.
One last thing on that is many clients, again, perceive that their pet is painful, and every one of these cases... that are, as we discussed, if you put them on a narcotic or other depressing type of pain medication, they're going to get worse because they're going to get weaker. So you're taking a neurologically weak patient and you're making them weaker and they don't do well.
Okay. Yeah, right. That makes sense. So I'll go ahead and sign us out then if we're done.
I think we're done.
Okay. Well, definitely thank you everyone for taking a listen. And definitely if this is your first podcast, we have 54 others in front of this one that we hope that you definitely listen to and subscribe to.
Does anybody you know of binge listen to podcasts?
I guess you could. And so usually it's like those like murder series and that kind of thing that people would binge listen to, I think.
Okay. Is that what they call it when you listen to multiple podcast in a row?
I think anytime you do multiple things in a row, it's called binging.
Yeah, binge eating.
But anyways, guys, check us out next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People Pets and Vets. Make sure to follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. If you're listening to this podcast, please subscribe on whatever form you're listening on. And then, like I said, you can always get those on our website under our resources tab or wherever you like to get your podcast from. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys. Everybody stay safe.